So if you'll bow your heads, we're going to agree in Christ that He will bring forth what He wants out of me and what He's shown me this morning so that we don't miss the boat. Father, without You I can do nothing, but with Your anointing, the yoke can be broken. And so today I ask that You would just release out of me that which You showed me this morning so that the anointing will just be able to break that yoke. And the victory will come for the Lord's glory. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
This morning, I had a little bit of a strange vision before I even began to open my Bible. And I don't want to go into the vision, but I knew that the Lord was saying, unless the Lord builds a house, it's built in vain. Okay? And I can tell you that He showed me something that was kind of strange. And I don't want to go to the details of that right now either. I'm not even sure if that's supposed to be mentioned. But what I can tell you is that when a person comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and is chosen by Him, and it's a reciprocal situation, we say yes to Jesus. Jesus says yes to us. But He knows the fullness of our hearts. We don't know the fullness of our own hearts. We know a percentage of what we do and the percentage of the fruits of our labor, but we don't fully comprehend who we are. And I remember the multiples of times that I've said to the Lord, "Boy, Lord, I don't know if I would have chosen Peter to be on my team." That's the truth. Okay? And the Lord, of course, began to show me how much like Peter I was. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
And I'd like to kind of let you see a little bit of the heart of the Lord towards His creation, meaning us. And I'd like to take you to Matthew chapter 16. Okay? And I'd like to show you a little bit of Peter and his confession. In verse 13, he said, "When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, 'Who do people say the Son of Man is?' And they replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.'" And then Jesus nails them to the wall in verse 15. "What about you?" He asks. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." Meaning there was a revelation that had come to Peter. I believe that would have been a major confirmation that Jesus had not failed in choosing Peter. Because he now knows that the Father has already got a relationship with Peter. Even though Peter is a little bit of a go-getter and he's got a lot of, you know, guts to do things, because you can see it through his, you know, choices. And the Lord replies, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. For this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Well, is he really saying that Peter is a rock? No. He's talking about the revelation. In other words, when you receive something that is awesome from God, When you receive an awareness that you have received something from the Lord, God will make it into a rock in your life. And you won't lose it. It becomes cemented in somehow inside your own heart. And you never really forget that one impact that has changed you, because you went from a wishy-washy person to a stable believer. How many know what I'm talking about? You may not be religious, but you might be able to say, I don't care what they say, I don't care how they say it, but I know Jesus is real. Because you've got that inner knowing, that solid foundation that God has spoken to your heart, and Jesus probably has said to you in some fashion, way or another, that you're blessed. And you know you're blessed. You're not going to advertise it after all, because if you do, you know, they'll laugh at you and all that other good stuff, and I've been there, and I know what that is, okay? So, but verse 18 says, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, or Hades, will not overcome. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, I want you to just touch for a moment. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, or hell, will not overcome it. Meaning the revelation of God to his creation is greater than all of hell's impacts. In other words, there may be time that you have received something from God, and satanic forces and darkness and all kinds of garbage has hit you, and all kinds of people have turned against you. But there's that inner knowing inside, well, I belong to the Lord, and I don't care, come hell or high water, I'm going to make it. Now, that's an inner knowledge, an inner rock that's inside of you that nobody can steal from you. Okay? Now, I'd like to take you a little bit deeper in the Word to Matthew. This time, to chapter 20. And there's a verse in chapter 20 that I want to really step out on, so that you can see what happens and how the Lord is trying to teach his disciples the next level of their walk. I believe this is for them, and I believe it's for us. Verse 10. When those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. If you haven't got a circle around that, I'd like you to put a little sign on the side. If you have a little footnote that you can put in there, called expectations. Expectations. Just a little footnote about expectations. Expectations come from flesh and from the demonic realm. Expectations that I should be treated in a certain way. Expectations that I should get certain benefits for the way that I do things for others, etc., 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 in the kingdom. Okay? And we'll go on to the entire picture of that, but if you don't get what you've expected, you're going to get what? Offended. And boy, can an offense turn a person upside down. Okay? When that offense begins to be used in your thought patterns as a consistent dagger, well, they offended you here, they're going to offend you there. They offended you here, and they're going to abuse you there. They betrayed you here, and they'll betray you again. So you better get out while the getting is good. Gee, you guys are right with me on that one. Must be you tasted some of these offenses. How many of you have received what I'm talking about? Okay. How did it start? It started by a certain expectation. And once that expectation grew, then the next level, when it didn't happen according to your expectations, who was pushing your buttons? The enemy, obviously, and your flesh, your old nature, pushing you to expect certain responses, because after all, that's how you would treat someone else. See, your heart of love can be used as a tool against you. Your heart of compassion can be used as a tool against you. Because the sneak thief in the background who accuses will eventually get you to believe that you've been offended. But take a good look at what Jesus is teaching about the kingdom. Verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius, one, okay, for the day, and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing this, or doing nothing. So he told them, you also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. See the agreement? So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. Now, I want to bring you back to one thing. Verse 4 says, he told them, you also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. Now, do you think the ones that went to work early heard that word? I believe he did. I believe they all heard it. And there's a certain expectation that's formed just by that comment. Amen? Okay. So watch again. Verse 6. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. And he asked them, why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing? Because no one has hired us, they answered. He said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the first foreman, or his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last one hired, going on to the first. So he's giving them instructions on how to pay his workers. Whose workers are they? His. The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came, and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. And when they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. Got it? These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden, the work, and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your payment and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave to you. Didn't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you so envious because I am generous? Verse 16 is very important. So the last will be first. And the first will be last. I said, Lord, how much of this nature is still in me? This nature of expectations, this nature of perceiving what I believe God should do the way that I perceive He should do it. And the Lord said, you have no clue. Just watch your emotions. Watch how you react. Watch how you respond when you see someone else receive, and you, because you've worked so hard, think that you should receive a different wage. And I'll tell you, I see a lot of the Peter in me. Because you see, all of us are born in the natural. We are born of the flesh, and the flesh wants to rule. When you're born of the Spirit, you begin a little bit of a different journey because you realize that the things of the kingdom are different than the kings of the natural realm. The kings of the natural realm operate with certain expectations, and they'll do accordingly to kind of keep the peace. Amen? But the King of Heaven is not going to try to keep peace. He's going to do it what's fair and what is just and what is right according to His agreement with you. According to His agreement with whom? You. Did you make an agreement to work for one denarius? Yes. They should have been happy. But what was their heart? It exposes the spirit of selfishness. And it puts it right out there. How selfish am I? Well, depends. Are you really into the church for your own affairs? Or are you into the church to build up the body so that others can come to Christ? Are you here to be trained to become selfless or more selfish? Which is it? What is my purpose here? Am I here to teach you how to become more selfish out of the gifts that God has given you? Absolutely not. I'm here to expose the enemy. I'm here to give you an understanding that if you've made an agreement with God and with me, that you should do your job accordingly. Do I get an amen? Amen. See, I'm not looking for a comfort zone. I'm trying to teach you the kingdom. And the kingdom comes in agreement. They forgot their agreement. They became selfish and self-motivation, and that's all that was in it. And then the accuser came on their case. Yes or no? Is the accuser on my case? Absolutely. He'd love to tear me apart. Now, has the accuser used people's mouths? Absolutely. How many can put their hand up on that one? See, if you're under that anointing of selfishness, the expectations are going to become more and more important. Yes? But God's grace is there to you so that you can see yourself. If you begin to see yourself, you're going to cry out, Lord, have mercy. I see a sinful man. I see a sinful person. I see a selfish person inside of me pushing my buttons. Amen? Amen? If I begin to see it, then I can run to Jesus, and He's going to what? What is Jesus' job? Pour out mercy and love. Not judgment. He didn't come to judge. He came to what? To rebuild you so that you can become more like Him. Not to become an irritation, but to become a solution. So what's your job as a believer? To become a solution, not another accuser. Amen? Okay. Let's go back to Peter and hunt a little more of him, okay? I want you to go to Matthew chapter 26. I want you to look at verse 31 and how sweet the Lord is about warning Peter of what's inside of him. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." So how many fell away? All. They all got disgusted with this Messiah that was supposed to rid them of all of the garbage that had been going on in Israel. So it's not just Peter who falls, it's every one of them. "But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." After I have risen. So he's declaring his resurrection, and do you know what? They were so fallen out of it, they never heard it. They were so into themselves, they never heard, "I'm going to rise." They didn't hear it. How many know sometimes you can listen to something and listen to it and listen to it, and the same sentence everybody heard, one person might have heard one way, and another person heard it another way, and there might be one or two words that several missed. They all missed it. They all missed it. Verse 33, Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." Whoa! So did Peter hear the word "all"? Yes! Is he agreeing? No! He's convinced, "I will never." How many have ever had that word come out of their mouth? And then a few weeks later, find out that they made a big boo-boo. And the beginning of humility starts to be formed. Amen? Amen? Yeah, the beginning of humility. Okay? "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. Yo, I don't know how well I would have done with that. I pray he never asks me. But I can tell you this. Peter had a problem with selfishness. He had a problem with certain expectations. But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. All the other disciples said the same. All the other disciples said the same. All the other disciples agreed. Isn't that cool? So what's the potential for you and me to fail? I remember one time telling the Lord, "You know, Lord, if I had only been walking with you when you were walking in the earth, boy, my life would have been so different." And guess what he said to me? "Phooey. Phooey." Why? Because I'm made out of what? Flesh and blood, clay, all those terms. I am also spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5 says I'm made up of 3 parts, spirit, soul, and body. Okay? But even after a renewed spirit, that flesh still wants to just push buttons. Okay? Verse 36. Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee along with him. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." In other words, he's facing the impossible. Doesn't know how he's going to get through, but he's choosing to trust the Father can do it. How does that relate to me and you when we begin to go forward. Now, we already know that Peter did fail three times. No question about that. And if you continue on, you'll learn all that. I believe the focus for us is to recognize that when we begin to see ourselves, it is a choice that we have. Just like Peter, when he saw himself, he ran back to fishing. Went back to work, knowing and doing something that he was familiar with and could survive with emotionally. Okay? And then later on, see, Jesus told him he was going to show up in Galilee. And he did. But the bottom line is, Peter is now saying, get away from me because I know what I did. I know I was so positive that I would never deny you, and yet something came out of my mouth that I didn't even know was the source. I see now how much selfishness there is in me. How much I really want all these things for me, myself, and I. And so Peter discovered who he had been serving all along. He was serving himself. What do you do when you realize you've been serving yourself? What do you say to the Lord? Have mercy. I didn't see. I couldn't see. Now, I'm beginning to see. Would you help my unbelief that you can do something even with me? Amen. That's the beginning of humility. That's the beginning of saying, I can't do it. I wanted to. I had the desire to. But unless you readjust all of who I am and recreate what I was to something that you can work with, then I'll be able to do what you've called me to do. And the Lord gives him another instruction. He says, someday when you get older, you'll be led to where you don't want to go. And he was speaking of the Lord's future. See, the Lord knew that Peter would be crucified upside down. I believe Peter didn't have a clue until those words came out of the Lord's mouth. And Peter still had a problem with John. What about him? You have a problem with your neighbor and the calling that they have and the gifts that are in them. It's because of the roots of selfishness that are inside. God's trying to let you know. I want to do something with it. I want to change you. I want to heal you. I want to set you free. How did he change us? A little tiny step at a time. As you reach out for more and more of him, you're going to go up a notch. And you're going to go up another notch. And one more rung on the ladder. Just one more rung on the ladder. And what about if you slip? If you slip, you hold on for all you know. And keep your eyes on him. Because if you don't, you'll do like Peter. And you'll push the Lord away. Don't push him away when he comes. Release yourself to him. Because he'll show up and he'll ask you, do you love me? And you know what? You can say, yeah, I love you with what I know how. I know in my natural ability I can love you, but I know there's so much more of the inner parts of me that are still not free. I can't change me, Lord, but you can. And you know what? He then says to him, go take care of the sheep. Go take care of the lambs. Go feed the lambs. In other words, use your weakness. Use the very thing that you have that you can't stand about yourself and expose it so that others can come to life. That's what it's all about. The journey from A to Z is to be understood. If you've been a person who has fallen, multiples of times. Do you know what? I'd let you teach my children and my grandchildren. But if you've never fallen in your own eyes, if you've never failed in your own eyes, I would tell you, keep away from my kids. Keep away from my kids, because you know what? You're so damn arrogant, I don't want you near them. Come on. That's the facts. But if a person who's fallen and has learned how to get back up and has learned to say, I'm weak, but you know what? I'm still going. Then you come and help to teach my kids. Come and help to build a house of prayer. Because you've already got a house of prayer. It's already inside of you. That's why I believe we're called the house of prayer for all nations. You won't be worried about the color of their skin, what they look like, what they act like, or what they seem to be like, or how many times they've fallen. You're going to be there to help them get back up and crawl to the Lord's cross and say, please, let's ask Jesus to wash you clean like he took care of me. So the person that God would choose would be Peter. Because you know what? Peter had a heart for the broken. He had a heart for those that were selfish, because he understood where he was and where God took him and where he wants to do with you. So would you bow your heads, please? I'm going to ask you to put your hand over your heart, please. And those of you who are listening to this message over the internet, do the same. Take a step of faith right now and pray with us. Lord Jesus, there are weaknesses in me. There are corners that I've failed in. But I'm learning that I can really depend on Jesus to fortify the weak corners, to strengthen the inner man, so that I can complete what you have chosen in my divine destiny. I don't want to be an average man. I want to be a supernatural man and a supernatural woman of God, so that others will come to life. So give me the boldness not to hide my weaknesses, but to boast about the places that I've fallen, and to trust the one who's resurrected me and is in the process of healing me, so that others will come to life and they won't be afraid of the Savior, because he doesn't have a big stick. He just has a big heart of love, full of compassion, full of mercy, full of healing, full of deliverance for all of the selfishness that slept in me. And all of God's people said,
amen.
And amen.